Can you ever remember hearing somebody say something that caught you completely off guard? Ever remember hearing somebody say something you just never would have imagined hearing such words come from their mouth? Some of you may well have grown up in homes where curse words were never heard, especially not from your parents. If ever the time did occur and you heard such a word or a phrase come from their lips, from mom or dad, did it ever catch you off guard? Or perhaps you've known somebody who always seemed to be upbeat and positive about everything. They always looked on the bright side of life. They were always kind of the half glass full kind of person. If ever you were to hear something contrary from them, if ever you heard them speak words of discouragement, or if they sounded deflated, those times probably had a real impact on you, because it wasn't what you'd come to expect. I can remember a time when I was in my early 20s. I spent a lot of time with a group of Christian friends. And we were a group that always tried to encourage one another. I can remember one day, things weren't going very well for me. I was particularly discouraged. One of my friends was there with me, and in an effort to cheer me up, he said, "Stephen, remember, Jesus died for you." And I pretty well said to him, I didn't care. You should have seen the look on my friend's face. I can still picture his face, the look back at me. He wasn't expecting me to say such a thing. My words to him were disturbing. Just think of the disciples and some of the things they'd heard from the mouth of Jesus since they had started walking with him and following him. In the midst of a storm that caused great fear in them, they simply heard Jesus say, "Be still." When people were gathered around a woman who had been caught in adultery and they were getting ready to stone her, what did they hear from Jesus? Certainly not words of accusation. Instead, Jesus spoke gently to her. He said, "I don't condemn you. Just don't go and sin again." When Jesus had been whipped 39 times by a metal barbed whip, and after nails had gone through his hands and his feet, after hearing people shout, "Crucify, crucify," just a few days after they had been shouting, "Hosanna," what words do we hear come out of Jesus' mouth but the words, "Father, forgive"? The words the disciples heard from Jesus always seemed to be so full of love. They always seemed to be grace-filled words. They always were words that were full of hope. And yet, can you imagine what things would have felt like to those disciples when they heard these words from Jesus? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, we don't know who was there who heard all the words. We don't know who was there standing around listening. But if any of the disciples were there, I can imagine them being stunned. The words would have caught them completely off guard. Had they heard him correctly? Would Jesus have said such a thing? During the course of their discipleship, they had heard Jesus talk about himself and the Father being one. During the course of his ministry, they'd heard him say, "I only do the will of the one who sent me." Even though the disciples didn't understand it, whenever Jesus spoke of the Father, he spoke in words that made them feel as though there was no separation between them, as though they were one and the same. So can you imagine how jarring it would have been hearing Jesus' words as he hung on the cross that day? My God, why have you forsaken me? Never would they have imagined hearing such words come from the mouth of Jesus. What do you make of them? If you'd been there and you'd heard him say what he said, how do you think it would have made you feel? You know, I think there's probably a part of us that would like to kind of soften the blow of those words. I think it's a part of us that would probably like to kind of downplay them a bit. Sure, we'll let Jesus feel that way for a moment, but just a moment, please, Jesus. We want Jesus to be fairly predictable. We want a Jesus who is in control. And we'll even try to make things more understandable and say, well, of course God hadn't really forsaken him. That's not what was really going on. There's a temptation on a day like today to downplay this. We downplay this day in favor of the day that's coming. To downplay the suffering of today in favor of Resurrection Sunday. But what do you think Jesus was thinking on that Friday? Do you think he was focused on the resurrection right then? I'm not so convinced he was. Even though he'd predicted it when he was speaking with his disciples beforehand, and even though when he'd spoken to them about his death, he'd also spoken about the resurrection, I'm not so sure that on the cross, that's what he was thinking about. Because if he was, if the resurrection was at the forefront of his mind, I'm not so sure we'd hear him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't get the sense that his words from the cross were meaningless. I don't get the sense that his words from the cross were said in any kind of offhand kind of way. Nor do I just get the sense that he merely said them just so that he could quote Scripture from Psalm 22. No, I wonder if on the cross, what Jesus had spoken previously about resurrection, whether that might have been the furthest thing from his mind at that moment. All throughout his ministry, Jesus had experienced such a close relationship, such union with his Father. I mean, we even get a sense of that even before his ministry began, don't we? I mean, sure, we hear that at Jesus' baptism, the voice of the Father said to Jesus, "You're my Son, whom I'm well pleased." But Jesus is aware of that, as aware of that relationship even before then. Even as a 12-year-old, Jesus talked about being in the house of his Father. Throughout his life, throughout his ministry, Jesus experienced such a close relationship with the Father. And yet on this day, as he hangs on a cross in pain, Jesus feels like he's been abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? Today, can you enter into Jesus' pain? It might be tempting to answer Jesus' question with logic or theology. It might be tempting to try to answer Jesus' question with words that make us feel more comfortable. But this day, I'm not so sure that's what Jesus is calling us to. Not so sure that Jesus, his aim, his hope is that we will feel more comfortable. Instead, I wonder whether Jesus would much rather we sit within the discomfort. I wonder whether Jesus might rather us sit with him and hold on to his question, to allow it to linger a little bit with us, that we might get a sense of his pain and perhaps might enter into that pain with him. My God, why have you forsaken me? When I think of that question, I get a sense of it, get that sense of abandonment and find myself thinking about it on a number of different levels. There would have been many that day who would have felt abandoned. I mean, just imagine what the disciples were feeling as they saw Jesus hanging on the cross. Now, our passage from Matthew didn't give us a sense of the disciples being present there with him, but John's Jesus story seems to apply that there were at least some who were there. What do you think they might have been feeling? For 3 years, I'm sure that for them it must have felt as though they were almost like riding on the crest of a wave as they traveled on along behind Jesus. From the moment they'd first heard Jesus say, "Follow me," and all during their time with him, it had been incredible. The things they'd heard Jesus say, the things they'd seen Jesus do. While they followed along behind, they knew they were walking in the footsteps of somebody who was special. Somebody who was changing the world. There were times probably when it even felt to them as though they were catching a glimpse of God in action. Jesus gave hope to their lives. He made their lives feel as though their lives were full of meaning. And yet they had so many plans for Jesus. They felt as though through Jesus, God had so much more to do. So seeing Jesus hanging on a cross, a symbol to the Hebrew people of one who was cursed by God, can you imagine what those disciples must have been feeling? Sure, sadness as they see their friend suffering in pain. But what about a sense of abandonment? There was so much more for Jesus to do. What do you think about, what about Mary, Jesus' mother? How do you think she was feeling? What do you think was going on inside of her that day? No parent expects to outlive a child. And I don't think Mary would have been any different. Sure, we can argue that she'd been prepared for what she'd be getting herself into the moment the angel Gabriel left her after announcing the news that she would be having a baby. But how much of all that do you think she really understood? How much did she understand what was happening? And yet Scripture tells us that Mary was there when Jesus was crucified. Might there have been any part of Mary that wished Jesus hadn't stood his ground? That he hadn't spoken out against the religious establishment so that he wouldn't have been crucified? Is there any chance that Mary might in any way at that time have felt abandoned by God? And what about all the people who'd shouted Hosanna just a few days before? They were so convinced that Jesus was their long-awaited Savior, the one who would lead them against the Romans. Might they have felt abandoned in any way? And then let's think back once again to Jesus. How might he have felt abandoned? Just think about all the people that he'd had an impact on during his ministry. Where were they to be found on that Good Friday? I mean, where was Nicodemus, that man that went to him late that night to ask him some important questions? Where was that Samaritan woman that Jesus met by the well and he talked about life-giving water? Where was the man who was blind from birth, whom Jesus healed one day? Where was Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead? Where was he that day? Jesus had been there for them in their need. Jesus had been there with them. And yet when he is hanging on a cross, the sense we get is that none of them stood up for him. "Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus said. Those words can make us feel somewhat uncomfortable. It disturbs us to think that Jesus felt that way. And yet hearing Jesus say those words gives us the sense that it's okay to express to God what we're feeling. It's okay for us to be completely real, to lay our souls bare to God, to let God know exactly what we're feeling, what we're experiencing inside, without any fear that God will be displeased with us, without any fear that our question will be a sign of us being unfaithful to God. If Jesus can lay out all what he felt, then God is okay with the same from you and me. As God did not feel threatened or attacked by Jesus' words, God does not feel threatened or attacked by similar raw words spoken by you or by me. My God, why have you forsaken me? There may be people here today or people who are watching our service via our live stream for whom those words strike a chord. People here today or watching this service who might feel as though you know what Jesus was feeling. Because there are times when you feel as though God is keeping too silent from you, that God has left you to fend for yourself. Perhaps God is saying this day, it's okay to admit what you're feeling. There also may be people here today or people who are watching this service via our live stream for whom the words today strike you differently, as they cause you to realize that in some way you've abandoned Jesus, that you haven't stood there with him, Perhaps God is saying this day, it's time to come back to Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to get the opportunity to offer some kind of response to those words of Jesus. Why have you forsaken me? Music team is going to sing. And you're invited, if you choose, to come up to the cross. Those of you who are watching the service at home, you might just want to kneel down where you are. For some, the response may simply be to be honest with God regarding what's going on inside of you. If you feel as though you've been abandoned, know that it's okay to lay that before Jesus. For some, the response may be one of repentance, recognizing some of the ways in which you have abandoned Jesus, recognizing some of the things that get in the way of an intimate relationship with Him. Some may want to come forward simply to say sorry. Some may want to come forward simply to say thank you. Some may want to come forward and all you can do is just be quiet. You can respond in any way. So I invite any of those of you who wish to do so to come forward. And as we do this, this will be marking the end of our service today. Although we're going to leave this place as kind of a holy place, we're not going to be having conversations in here while the music's going on and people are coming up to the cross. We'll just keep this place quiet. But when you're ready, you can leave at any time. And the hope is that you will join us once again on Sunday. My God, why have you forsaken me? Those were the words of Jesus. What is Jesus saying to you today? And what are you needing to say back to him?